In May last year, actually, we handed over the leadership of the work in Europe to Gert Walter Brüskies from Germany. He's a godly leader, and God is using them to take the work forward. And we were due for retirement. I'll be 70 next year. But the leadership of CEF asked if we could continue serving until 2016. And after praying about it, we said, yes, if the Lord gives us the health and strength needed. So we have 5 years, one more lap to run. We are recycled material this morning. Okay, you can either call us antiques or veterans, but we are recycled, and we want to carry that torch of the gospel for that last lap, and we want to carry it high and not stumble and fall with it. So we ask you to continue to stand with us in prayer and support, and that we'll finish well for God. Thank you so much. Now let's turn to Revelation chapter 3, verses 7 and 8. Revelation chapter 3 and verses 7 and 8. This is part of the message of the Lord Jesus Christ to the church at Philadelphia. It has been called the Church of the Open Door. So let's read these two verses, Revelation 3, 7 and 8. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word, that infallible, that life-giving, living word. And we pray that you would bless it to our hearts this morning, that not only you who wrote it will help us to understand it, but also to live it out in our lives today. Yes. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
The Lord says here in verse 8, I have set before thee an open door. The Lord is speaking about a special opportunity to witness. He not only gives special opportunities, but he also prepares the hearts of those who are going to hear that witness. So let's see, first of all, in verse 7, the one who opens the door. The one who opens the door. The Lord Jesus revealed himself to the church at Philadelphia in a particular way. It was important for the believers there to understand who opens the door. We see, first of all, that he is holy. He is holy. It's important for us as well today to understand that the Lord Jesus is holy. We read in verse 7, these things saith he that is holy. Our Lord is absolutely pure and perfect. He cannot look with favor on sin. Let's remember the one who opens the door of opportunity for witness is holy. And our lives should also reflect something of his holiness. He is holy. And he is true. He is true. We read in verse 7, these things saith he that is true. His word is true.
Amen.
He always keeps his promises. We can rely on him in every situation. It's important for us to remember that he is true. Our lives should be true. And we should share his truth with others. The Lord who opens the door is holy. He is true. And also he holds the key of David. He holds the key of David. We read in verse 7, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth, and no man shutteth, and no man openeth. It's a reference to Isaiah 22, verse 22. It means that the Lord Jesus Christ has all authority in his kingdom. He has said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Let's remember that Jesus Christ has all power in heaven and on earth. How our lives would change if Jesus Christ was to appear to us right now in all his power and holiness and truth and glory, as he appeared to the Apostle John on the island of Patmos. We would all be flat on our faces on this floor before him. He opens the doors. And let's never forget that he who is holy one day became sin for us on the cross of Calvary. He who is true truly died and gave his precious blood to save us from our sin. He truly rose again from the dead. He is a living Savior. Yes. And he who holds the key is the one to whom each one of us needs to call and ask him to save us. If we come to him in repentance and faith, he will open the kingdom for you. Just call upon him. Just a short testimony about how the Lord is able to open doors. I think of how he has opened a door for the big island of Greenland, for the gospel to go out to the children there. We have a Danish couple in CEF who have been praying for the children of Greenland. It has been part of the Danish kingdom for years, but more become independent and going over to the Greenlandic language rather than Danish. And this couple have been praying, and in 2009 they were able to go and hold a Bible camp for children in Greenland, but they wanted more children to hear about the Savior. And so God began to work, and a mission in Ireland offered to print free of charge the gospel booklet Meet the King. And I want to show you a miracle this morning. This is Meet the King in the Greenlandic language. It's actually the first piece of gospel literature for children in that language. God did it. And then the Lord led a lady in Denmark to give the money needed to mail that booklet to every home in Greenland. So last November, all 32,000 homes in Greenland received a copy of Meet the King. Now, God continues to work. This summer, a couple took our three-month institute in Switzerland. Janusz is from the Faroe Islands, and Marie is from Greenland. And they have had on their hearts the burden for the children of Greenland. And God brought them to us. And they have applied now to CEF, and they will be going to Greenland to work amongst the children. The believers in the Faroe Islands have a great concern for Greenland. They fished there for many years, and now they want to give something back to Greenland. And so they're building a camp center in the south of Greenland that children and families from Greenland can come together and be taught the Word of God. And that couple will help the believers in Greenland, there are a few of them, to get out the gospel to this generation. God opens doors. Amen. Even into that big, huge island northeast of Canada up there that seems so frozen and so impossible. God can do it, and he can do it here in Summit County too. And then we see something else in verse 8. We see those who are to go through the door, those who are to go through the door of opportunity for witness. The Lord says three things about these Christians in Philadelphia in verse 8. And these three things qualified them, and it qualifies us to go through the open doors. And he says, first of all, about these believers, thou hast a little strength. Thou hast a little strength. Now, that doesn't sound like a quality, does it? The Philadelphian believers weren't many in number. They weren't rich or powerful. They knew they couldn't open a door for witness in their own strength, and they were counting on the Lord. The Lord loves to use weak people like them and like us as his witnesses, those who are trusting completely in him. The Lord's strength is made perfect in weakness. Let's keep our eyes on him. It's all about him. And after that, the Lord says to the church at Philadelphia, thou hast kept my word. Thou hast kept my word. Now, that's the second condition for being used by God. These believers knew how precious and how powerful the word of God is. God's word brings life. That was true in creation. God spoke and it was done. And it's true today in salvation. The word of God changes people. The word of God should be in the center of our lives every day and in the center of our witness. Let's keep the word of God in its rightful place. Now, let me give you an example of the importance of the word of God. Recently, two of our CF workers went to visit a group of children in a part of Romania where there were very few believers. And they asked the group of children how their group had started. And the children said, you may not know us, but we know you. We received some copies of your gospel booklet, and several of us wrote to enroll in the mailbox Bible club lessons. And we came to the Lord through studying the Word of God with the help of the lessons. Others have come to believe in the Lord Jesus too, and we meet every week to study the Word of God together. We invited you to come and help us. The Lord used his word to bring light into a dark corner of Romania. The word of God is living. It changes lives. The entrance of his word bringeth light. It builds up believers. It guides us in what we are to do. So let's keep the word of God at the center of it all. You know, there's a man who had a motto, and his motto was, no Bible, no breakfast. Amen. He wouldn't start with his eating something until he had something from the Word of God. I think that would be a good motto for every one of us. Amen. Maybe we'd be a little thinner, but it wouldn't do us any harm. But we'd have the Word of God to set the tone for the day, to go with us into the day. It's the Word of God that will guide us. It's the Word of God that will strengthen us. It will show us the path to follow. It's that word of God that we need to be sharing. I was speaking just last week to someone up in Michigan who didn't want to believe in God or creation. He was a vegetarian. He thought the biggest sin was to eat meat and all kinds of strange things. But I kept coming back to one verse. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And leave him the word of God. And it'll haunt him. It'll follow him. It may be the way to bring him to Christ. Because it's the word of God that does it. It's not our great persuasion. It's not all the nice things we can say and put it together in a nice package. God does the work. Salvation is of the Lord. And there's another condition mentioned here in verse 8. It says, thou hast not denied my name. Thou hast not denied my name. The believers in Philadelphia were facing cruel persecution. The Roman emperor was demanding that everyone should bow the knee to him and say, Caesar is Lord. And these believers refused to do that because they loved the Lord more than their own lives. And they said, we worship Jesus Christ. Jesus is Lord. The Lord's name was very precious to them. We've sung about that name this morning in our worship time. Do you love that name?
Amen.
Do Do you love Jesus Christ above everything else, above everyone else? It's a high qualification for serving the Lord and being used as a witness, but it is an essential one. The Lord must have first place in our lives. If we're going to go through the door of opportunity for witness that He has opened for us, we need to love His name, to put Him first, and we share Him with others out of a heart full of love for Him. And I want to challenge each believer here at Faith Bible Fellowship this morning to pray for an open door. To pray for an open door. Here is what the Apostle Paul wrote to the believers in Colossae after more than 25 years of missionary service. He said this, praying for us that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ. The Lord commands us to pray for open doors. And here's my question for you. What is the new door of opportunity which the Lord is opening for you in 2011? He is the one who opens doors. And He tells us about those who are to go through the door, but He tells us to pray and then watch Him open the door. Pray and watch God work. Is it a door of witness to the many immigrants, the many Hispanic people whom the Lord has brought here to Ohio? You may never have the opportunity to visit their country, but the Lord has given you the possibility to take the gospel to them right here.
Amen.
The mission field is on your doorstep. So ask the Lord to open that door. I don't know how He's going to do it. But are you praying about it? Lord, that You would open a door for opportunity for witness. Does the Lord want to open a door of witness for you into the public schools in Talmadge? 10 years ago, the Supreme Court of the United States made a ruling that CF should have access to school property for holding Good News clubs after school time, because school property was used for other extracurricular activities. And your church can adopt a local school. And with the help of CF, and I know they'll help you because Mark and Kathy are missionaries out of their church to Ohio, and Danielle is a member. Where are you, Danielle? Are you here at the moment? Okay, right, and she's right here. She'll relay the message. We want to do something for the school children. You see, we complain sometimes, they have taken the prayer and Bible out of the school. But you know, you can take the prayer and the Bible back into the school. God has opened that door. And you're able to have an after school Good News Club in any public school in USA. And that is amazing. Shouldn't we take the opportunity and get the Bible and prayer into school, and you have freedom to teach the way you want to teach? You don't have any restrictions, anybody looking over your shoulder. You just have parents who sign up and say, our child can come, and you have them, and you can teach them for that 45 minutes or an hour and have them under the Word of God. Is God speaking to someone this morning about being part of that? Talk to your pastor. Your pastor will relay it to Mark and Kathy and Daniel, and we'll get help to you. Let's go through the open door as we pray for God to open it. And then, does the Lord want to open a door for you to distribute a copy of the Wonder Book that we showed earlier to maybe to some of the homes here in this neighborhood? 6 years ago, CF of Ireland undertook a huge distribution to every home in our island of Ireland. 2.25 million copies were needed. It was a huge undertaking. But God is more interested in the people hearing about his Son than we can ever, ever imagine. He who spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not also freely with him give us all things? And God provided, and we're still seeing the fruit of that coming as people have come to know the Lord simply because they had a good presentation of the gospel. It was for children, but the parents read it as well. They don't feel aimed at when you give it to a child. So let's get the gospel out through literature or whatever God puts on your heart to do. We need to get out the gospel to the unreached who are within reach. Remember Revelation 3, 7 and 8. And ask the Lord to open the door of opportunity he has for you. And whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Let's stand for prayer. And with our eyes closed and our heads bowed, I want to ask you, is the Lord speaking to you in this morning's service? Maybe you need to call on him who is holy, true, and who holds the key, that he will come into your life and save you this morning. Maybe the Lord is showing you this morning that you have a work to do for him. He's showing you a door that you should go through. Maybe he wants one of you to pick up the torch of the gospel and run for God in Europe or in some other foreign field. And the Lord has been speaking to you about that and you've been hesitating to say yes. Maybe there's something you need to put right with the Lord this morning in your life. You have a spiritual decision to make this morning. We want to invite you to come forward and someone will meet you at the front and pray with you and invite you to come. And we pray just now and then as we sing our invitation hymn. Oh Lord, your word is clear and it tells us about the one who holds the key, who owns it all, to whom we can come freely through the Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray that people today may respond and come in their need with that concern. And we pray, Lord, that they will do business with you. Don't let us go out of here today, Lord, the same as we have come in when we know that you're speaking and you're dealing with us. There are those who are waiting to hear the gospel right outside the doors of this church. So, Lord, have your way in our lives and bless as we share the invitation hymn together. And may there be those who will say yes to God and step out for him. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.